wonderful teachers come here. So to focus what I do tonight and tomorrow, it helps me to know what you desired from coming here. Because you could have been doing a lot of other things in New York, right? So there was something you wanted to get out of it, something you intended to have happen from being here. So give me some idea what you wanted. And speak up loudly so we can all hear. Okay. Can everybody hear her, or shall I say that? Okay. So she was saying she came to a course I gave here last year and did the practices for a while, and it was really helpful, but then she kind of fell away, and she came to get revitalized. And yes, it really helps to kind of like have a booster from time to time. Great. Yeah, so what I'm going to teach you this weekend, and we'll talk about the one thing I want you to take away to practice, because a number of the things we'll do, I don't expect you to keep practicing, they're to enhance the effects of the core. But she's saying she came to a one-day course. I think we had over 100 social workers that day who needed rejuvenation. Because when you're taking care of people, you get burned out. It drains your energy, right? And she's been doing it every day since then, and she wants to go deeper. So the more you keep practicing it, the deeper you will go. And it's more powerful being in a group for most people in the beginning than being alone at home. Right. So how many of you are therapists or caretakers? Okay. So I often draw more of that crowd. So absolutely. We're going to practice this weekend. I give other courses where we do slide stuff and go into references and on why this is very useful. And then there are other courses where we go into teaching how to combine it with therapy and then how to teach it to patients. Again, this weekend is just to get an exposure for yourself. Because if you know it, it's easier to learn how to teach it. You know, until it's natural for you. What I find is therapists or doctors who learn from me, if they don't do it or they don't practice and they say to their clients, get this CD and practice it, it doesn't work. But the person, if they see their therapist is different from how they used to be or different from most other people, they feel like, I want some of that. Okay, and then they're willing to do it. Yeah. Other desires. Right. So whether we know it or not, we often stop breathing at different points throughout our day, doing different things. And can this help you kind of keep your breathing smooth and continuous? Yes. But the most important thing is the awareness of what's happening with your breathing. Okay? So the breath is a link between the external world and your original self. It's the most powerful, easy road from the outer world to the inner world, and it connects them. So most of the time, where is your mind? I mean, even in these 5 minutes that we've been talking, where is your mind? Is it 100% here? Where is it? It's everywhere, right. Your mind goes all over the place all the time. And when it goes in the future, what's it usually doing?
Worrying?
Right. Things you have to do to get things that will make you feel good, or people close to you to make them feel good, and then worrying about things to avoid that would make you feel bad, right? We're very much motivated by pleasure and pain. And then sometimes your mind goes where else besides the future? Past. And when it goes in the past, what's it doing?
Ruminating
about? About? Good things and bad things. More of the time, bad things. Disappointment, anger, regret, guilt. All that stuff. Now, a little bit of regret is good because it keeps you from doing stupid things again. Okay? But too much drains your energy and gets out of proportion, right? Now, if you're Walter Mitty, for those of you who are old enough to who know who Walter Mitty was, you may spend a lot of time glorifying your past. That's the opposite. Doesn't happen too often these days. So our minds are rarely in the present, and the breath is a way of bringing it to the present, and it's the awareness of the breath that's so crucial. So what's the style of Buddhism that's primarily taught here? Theravadin. And in Theravadin tradition, you have certain what are called suttas, or sutras in India, Sanskrit, of Buddha talking to his disciples. And in the second sutta is all about breathing. And he starts out by saying, the beginning and the end of the road to enlightenment starts with and ends with awareness of the breath. So the one thing I want you to eventually get, one of many things I could ask you to get from doing the breathing, is awareness of your breath. Because the problem is the outside world draws our mind out and you lose touch with your original self and then things get messed up. So the breathing helps you be aware of the original self while you're in the world. Normally when you get in the world, you lose that contact. And your inner or original self is so crucial. It's a crucial source of energy. Without it, you're kind of without an anchor. So the breathing can keep you in that place. In the beginning, you go into the inner world, and it's like a well of beautiful, pure water, and you take a drink, and you go back to the outer world. After a while, you have half of you in each world. Okay, you're there all the time, pretty much. Or if you get knocked out of the inner world, you get back to it much more quickly. Any other desires? Yes. This will help, this breathing, the core breathing, which we'll talk about, will help you more easily do any kind of meditation. So just to give you an example, a study was done years ago in some Zen monasteries in Japan, and the researchers asked the abbots to rank who was advanced in meditation and who wasn't, and then they studied them when they began to meditate and during their meditation the whole time. And they were monitoring many things, their breathing, and also certain measures of your heart's electrical activity that have to do with the soothing, healing part of your nervous system that also enables you to feel connected to other people and the environment, to be really connected. Because stressed people are disconnected, right? So what they found was the advanced monks, as soon as they sat down to meditate, they just went into this breathing. And they'd never been taught how to do it. But it pretty much took most of them 20 years of meditating 6 or 8 hours a day to learn how to do that. So I'm reversing it for you. Instead of your having to meditate for hours a day for years, I'm saying, do the breathing, and then you'll find your meditation will get different. It'll be a lot easier and deeper and richer, I think. That's what most people find. Whatever meditation you do. Now, in the ancient yoga texts, it described a sequence, and this is true in India, in China, okay, and Korea, and so on. First movement, partly to take a layer of physical stress off your body, and also strengthen your body. If you end up doing a lot of meditation and breathing, your body can get weaker. So when the ninth successor to Buddha came over the Himalayas to India, and he got to where the Shaolin Temple is now. He found the monks were great at meditation. They were doing hours of meditation a day, but they were sickly physically. And what's the point of doing all the meditation if you're going to be really sick a lot of the time and die early? Okay? Now, if you realize you may have many lifetimes, it may not be so important. But my feeling is, once you got the wisdom this life, use it for a while before you move on. Okay? So he taught them, among other things, certain strong physical movements and certain kinds of special breathing. We won't go into that tonight. That's a whole other thing. But you can learn it, and it's great when you're over 50 because certain parts of your body fall apart more easily. At any rate, the sequence is movement, get the layer of physical stuff off, strengthen your body, and it can be fun. And it can also repair things that are damaged. The second thing is the breathing. Okay, so the breathing, again, is a link to your inner self, but it can be a meditation on its own. We'll talk more about that as we go on. So how many of you have heard of something in Thai Buddhism that's called Anapanasati? Okay. So it's using a lot of advanced monks just do breathing as their meditation. You can use it that way, or you can use it as a lead-in to whatever kind of meditation you want to do. So we're kind of have three parts to the breathing tonight and tomorrow. The first part will be breathing at 5 breaths per minute. How fast do healthy, normal people breathe according to medical textbooks? About 15 to 20. And they're often up in their chest shallowly. I'm going to ask you to breathe into your belly. Okay? So let's take a hand down to our belly. Just get in touch with the breath a moment. So let's breathe out the air slowly. You don't have to force it all out. Just breathe it out slowly. And feel what your belly does. So breathe out. 2, 3, 4, breathe in, 2, 3, 4, breathe out, 2, 3, 4, breathe in, 2, 3, 4, breathe out, 2, 3, 4, breathe in, 2, 3, 4. Breathe out. 2, 3, 4. Just relax with your eyes closed. Observe the rhythm of your breathing now. Whatever rhythm your breath wants to go in, just observe it. Observe the change in your body and your mind. Okay, let's open our eyes. So when you breathe in, what did your belly do? It expanded. And when you breathe out, it contracted. Now, some of you may have been doing the opposite. Anybody doing the opposite? Okay? If you're a therapist and you deal with stressed patients, anxious, PTSD, whatever, it is frequently the opposite. I won't get into why it may happen. It's kind of a compensation for the disturbed autonomic cardiovascular system, but it's really important to correct it because continued over time, it kind of causes more and more problems. So tonight, you're going to be breathing into your belly, and you don't have to fill your lungs. We're not going to do what's called a complete yogic breath. Okay, you're just going to gently expand the belly, gently let it contract, just staying with the rhythm that I'll lead you in with my voice or with chimes. So we're going to breathe at 5 breaths per minute instead of 15 to 20. And when you do that, what happens is the stress part of your nervous system, the part that helps you deal with threats and worrying about stuff, okay, it will calm down, and the recharging, healing, loving part of your nervous system will come up. And sometimes, a lot of the time, we'll be balancing the two, which means all of your brain and your nervous system is working together optimally. In fact, everything that can be measured works better at that point. Some of the time, we're also going to really turn down the stress system and turn up the healing system, okay? So by changing your breath, you can dramatically change how everything inside you is working. In that place, for example, your heart and lungs will deliver more oxygen to your cells, and your blood vessels will relax, even your smallest blood vessels in the fingers and toes. It may take you a little practice to get there, and you do have to relax your muscles as you do it. And in that place, what happens is there will be a change in how your blood vessels are relating to your heart's activity. So this is the, let's say, the rate at which your heartbeat is changing as you breathe in as an adult, typically, like this. You see this little movement of my hands? Now, this is what happens when a baby is breathing. If they're happy and healthy, and they're very, very small, this is what happens with their heart rate and their blood vessels. Now, what's the difference? So this ladder, which looks like a flower opening and closing, is very relaxed and flexible. And this is really rigid and narrow and constricted. Okay? So in the Tao Te Ching, a Taoist text written by Lao Tzu, there's a verse dealing with breathing, and he starts out by saying the purpose of the breathing practices is to induce the tenderness of a newborn baby. And this parameter of how flexible your blood vessels are is right now in aging research one of the three best predictors of your likely living longer and healthier. Okay? And there are all kinds of cool gadgets to measure that. But what I'm saying is if you practice this breathing, you will get better and better at it. It's also good if you do high-altitude skiing or climbing or triathlon or whatever. Anybody a high-altitude athlete? Okay. Oh, I see meditation does not correlate with... Anyway, so your blood vessels will start to change and you will begin to feel them pulsating during and after your breathing and into the meditation. Now, there's a third component that I'm going to add to the breathing, or actually two other components. So one is we'll learn to breathe at 5 breaths per minute, slower than your usual rate. However it feels to you, it's slower than your usual rate, by the way. You're just not aware of it. We're going to add a breathing that's found in yoga and qigong. It's a kind of resistance breathing, what scientists call resistance breathing. And in India, it's called ujjayi breathing. And that translates as victorious breath, which really means victory over the mind through the breath. In American yoga, it's often called ocean breath. And it further strengthens the healing part of your nervous system and all the cool stuff that goes along with that. And then we're going to add a third component, which is not that often taught, except a little bit in qigong. And it's found in India. It's found in Hawaii. It's found around the world where people do breathing. But we're going to take it to a more advanced level. It was developed by Russian Orthodox monks on long Siberian winter nights. But seriously, it's much more advanced, and it has a profound effect. So it really makes it a breathing meditation. And it has other wonderful benefits beyond the breathing. And then we'll do what the monks did and what many yogis have done for thousands of years and qigong practitioners in China. We'll go from the breathing into a deeper kind of meditation. And the kind of meditation we'll do, which can be progressively deeper this weekend and get deeper and deeper, a modern American term for it is open focus. It's found, the style of yoga I used to teach, it was considered the most advanced secret sacred meditation, and people couldn't do it on their own without a teacher there because it was too powerful and it might do something incredibly spiritual too much to you. And in Tibetan Buddhism, usually you only learn it after 10 levels of religious initiation. But one of the fathers of biofeedback, who's a neuropsychologist and a Zen teacher, discovered it doing different kinds of meditation and watching his brainwaves. And I would say some of you may find it the way I need to teach it to introduce you to it, whether you're beginner or advanced. You may find it's a little different, but just do it. How many of you played an instrument growing up? How many of you had to play scales? Okay, so I not only played an instrument, I did martial arts, Japanese martial arts for years. And you have to do forms. And you do forms, and you do forms. And eventually you go beyond the form, but it's very helpful to have the form for in the beginning, meaning the first 10 or 20 years. So the open focus is kind of like a form, and I think you'll find if you can do it, you can do any kind of meditation right away anybody teaches you. It will just change things. So the other thing I'd say is most of the advanced Tibetan lamas I've met or advanced yogis talk about with their meditation comes a sensation of emptiness and bliss. And for me, what I felt like was the breathing gave me bliss, and this kind of meditation gave me the emptiness. And you can do them together after a little practice. In the beginning, we have to kind of separate them. Okay. When we do that third component, I call it moving the breath. So whatever we do tonight, whether it's movement, breathing, or meditation, I want you to pretend you're about 5 years old again and use your imagination. Because your imagination is so powerful to make everything healing happen. And by moving the breath, I mean something like this. Let's close our eyes. Imagine you're lying on a gently sloping shore on the beach, and you're lying at the edge of the water, so as the wave comes in, it's lapping around your body, around the sides of your body. It's not covering you. And imagine instead of the wave just coming up around you as it comes up on the shore, it actually washes through the inside of your body. And as it washes off the shore, it washes down the inside of your body. So, for example, imagine your awareness and your breathing is in your belly, at the base of your spine and the pelvic floor. Now let's breathe in and imagine the wave moving up inside your body, belly, torso, neck, head, up to the top of your head. And now breathing out, imagine the wave washing down through your torso, belly, out through the base of the spine and the pelvic floor. Breathe in, up inside the body to the top of the head. Put all your attention out the top of your head. And breathing out, put all your attention at the base of the spine and the pelvic floor. Breathe in. Allow the wave to move as you put your attention and breath. Imagine your breath going to the top of your head like a wave of water or breath of air. And then breathing out, it goes down inside your body, out through the pelvis, the base of the spine. Simple as that. You can open your eyes. And that particular channel is found everywhere in the world where advanced breathing is done. But we're going to go farther than that because it really helps clear and repair emotional and physical stress and its effects on your body. And then we'll go into the meditation. In the meditation, how many of you have read the Pranaparamita Sutra? Okay. It's a sutra about, what's it about? Those of you who've read it. About perfection, but it's really about nothingness and emptiness, okay? So in a sense, we're going to go into the nature of space. We normally pay no attention to space. We pay attention to people and things and whether they're going to make us feel good or bad. That's what our mind is constantly doing. Okay, is this good for me? Are they good for me? Are they bad? We're going to go into the space inside us and around us and see what happens to our mind when we do that. Now, after each sequence of movement, breathing, and meditation, I like to do a little process so you get a sense that your nervous system is working differently than it ordinarily does, okay? Because I find without that, usually unless you've done a lot of meditation, you're not aware that your energy is different. And just to say it, breathing is the most crucial source of your energy, and energy is the key to life. It's the key to humor. It's the key to problem solving. It's the key to connecting to other people. And it's the key to aging gracefully. Your energy runs down as you get older. Okay? So, any questions? Nah, You did it as a kid. And you usually kind of do it at some falling asleep. The only thing that limits you is accumulated stress, and we'll try to get rid of that. Yeah. 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out. It means that you take a little bit of breath at a time in and out. Yeah. If you get impatient, if you do, just be with the impatience. We'll talk about how to deal with those challenges if they arise. If you feel at first like you can't quite make it for the whole length of the time, you can certainly put a pause in and just allow the breath to suspend itself until the next part of the cycle begins. But you'll find it'll be pretty easy to be continuous. But we may do some breathing where we do holds. Holds have certain value, and we'll talk about that. And there may be time at the end to read something from an ancient yoga text that some people think is the beginning of Zen, an ancient Indian yogic text. Remember, Buddha was a yogi. Other questions? Worries?
Someone asked you to ask me this question. If you have an upper respiratory infection, or a bad cold, can you do this breathing?
This breathing is so good for your lungs and your immune system. Absolutely. Now, everything I put in here further enhances the effects, in fact. The things we will do will especially help the lungs. Yeah, I'm not getting into all research on how this is so good for your lungs. Yeah. Now, the only challenge is if your nose is stuffy or you feel like coughing, what do you do? Anybody have a stuffy nose tonight with allergies? At this time of year, usually we're okay. It's when we get into late October, November that it gets to be a problem. Now, if you have a cough, there are cough drops here, and it can get a little tight in here, but you may find a cough drop appear in your hand. I sometimes have breath angels helping me. I didn't bring any breath angels tonight because most of you folks are kind of experienced sitting and meditating and dealing with challenges like coughing or other problems. Okay, now, one thing I would say is when we get to the breathing, a lot of people find it's easiest to do this lying down, but we don't have mats or carpet here. If you feel comfortable lying down, and we can spread out the chairs more to fill the room, you can lie down, and it's really good for your cardiovascular and stress response system to lie down with your lower legs on the chair. Okay? I'll show you that when we get to it. If you don't want to do that, it's okay. If you really, really want to sit, it's okay. But what's really important is to let go of tension in your body as you do the breathing, because then the energy flows better. Another way of looking at what we're going to do, your energy has been drained by the stressful action of your mind. And we're going to raise the energy in your system, and we're going to begin to circulate it through the different channels in your body and your mind. There are gross channels in your body, and there are subtler channels in certain parts of your mind that represent different parts of your body and your glands and so on. And we're going to clear those channels, hopefully, over the next night and tomorrow. And then we want to store that energy so it kind of doesn't leak away. And that's where the meditation comes in. It kind of like bakes in the effects, as well as having its own benefits. Okay? All right, now the other thing is when we do this breathing, it so enhances the blood flow through your kidneys, we will need bathroom breaks. But I recommend you drink, because the other thing is toxins will get released from accumulated stress, and you want to help wash it away drinking water, not just here tonight, but at home, tonight and tomorrow morning. Okay? It'll make it a lot easier. And you may notice your sweat may smell differently as different chemicals come out through your sweat glands onto your skin. All kinds of interesting stuff happens. The other thing to say is the breathing releases stress relatively quickly, even faster than meditation, which biofeedback does. And in biofeedback, psychologists describe something called release phenomena. Release phenomena means you may have unusual, what you think are unusual thoughts, memories, or sensations. You may feel suddenly hotter or colder. You may feel lighter or heavier. You may feel bigger or smaller. You may feel very tingly. You may feel like you're floating away. You may feel like your mind was a million miles away. Whatever thought, memory, or sensation comes, not a problem. Allow it to be there. Just stay with whatever process I'm guiding you in, whether it's the breathing or the open focus meditation. Don't worry. Over thousands of years of people doing all these things, and everything we're doing has been described thousands of years ago and forgotten, rediscovered, okay? No one's been lost. We don't teach the meditation to schizophrenic patients, but in fact, we do teach it to schizophrenic patients with great benefit, the breathing, okay, and the movement. Okay, any other questions? Is concentration vital? What I'd say is, in a sense, I'm going to ask you not to concentrate, to not try to concentrate on anything I'm saying or concentrating away from it. Just be with being here. It's okay. Most of our day, we're in narrow focus of attention. We're concentrating so hard on everything, and it creates a lot of stress from your muscle in the lens of your eye down to your DNA. And I'm trying to help you begin to wash that away starting this weekend. And if you keep practicing the way I tell you to, it will get better and better, and you will get healthier and healthier, and things will heal. And I'm asking you to, part of the time tonight, do nothing with your mind. Do nothing intentionally with your mind, except let your imagination respond to the things I say. So I'm asking you to do the opposite of concentrate. No problem. Your mind wants to do it. It hasn't had enough chance lately. How do we deal with pain? Okay. In some courses, I deal a lot with pain, especially for the general public. So those courses are a little longer. By the end of the second day, we're doing breathing and meditation for pain, emotional and physical. I'm not sure. We'll see how we do. Maybe we'll get to that. At the moment, if a pain arises, and many of you, by the way, will have pain as part of the release phenomena of stress. So it's okay. I'd say, number one, don't resist it. Don't try to fight it. Don't encourage it. Normally, when pain comes, we either try to pay too much attention to it or we try to resist it. And the more you resist it, the more it will persist. Okay? So if the pain comes, allow it to be there. If it's really a challenge, let's say we're moving the breath in the breathing, just imagine you're letting instead of the breath move wherever I'm asking you to move it, just move it through the pain, which you'll feel in a certain part of your body. Like for you, maybe upper back, neck and shoulders, lower back. Okay. Just imagine the breath moving through that pain back and forth. Like say you have a tablecloth that has stains on it from eating. And by the way, imagine your mind is a tablecloth. And every day your negative emotions are stains on the tablecloth. Now you're going to put the tablecloth in the washer and you're going to use the breath to wash the tablecloth. And then when we go into the meditation, you put the tablecloth in the dryer and dry it, and then you iron it. Okay, that's what we're going to do to your mind tonight and tomorrow. So just imagine you move the breath back and forth through the pain. And then when we go into meditation, just allow, if there's still pain there, allow it to be there. And then maybe, depending on what we do with pain meditation this weekend, we'll talk about resources to do more advanced work with pain. Anyone not have pain sometimes? If you have no pain ever, emotional or physical, raise your hand. Okay, so maybe we'll deal a little more with pain before we leave. All righty. Now, for the movement sequence, this is kind of like a giant adult Simon Says, but I'm going to move away from the mic. So if you cannot hear me, you have to let me know.
Thank you.
That's the low tone. There's the high tone. Can anyone not hear those tones? Raise your hand if you can't hear them. There's the high tone. Next time we'll start breathing in on that high tone. There's the low tone. We're going to breathe out on that. If you lose that and catch it, whatever happens. Breathing in. Breathing in gently, effortlessly. Breathing out gently and effortlessly. Breathing in just like you're a baby again. A happy baby with a smile on its face. Breathing out. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in. Energy fills the body. Breathing out, your body relaxes more and more with each breath out. Breathing in. Breathing out, relax your eyebrows, your face, your jaw. Breathing in for one chime. Breathing out, relax the back of your neck, your shoulders, between the shoulder blades. Breathing in. Breathing out, relax your belly, your ribs, your lower back. Breathing in. Breathing out, relax your pelvic floor and your legs. Just feel them melting. Dissolving. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in. Breathing out, letting the hands and the eyes be still. Breathing in. Breathing out. On your own a few times. Breathing out for one chime, breathing in the next chime. A little bit of air at a time. Mind wanders, bring it back to the breath moving in your nose and throat. breathing in effortlessly for the length of one chant. Breathing out effortlessly for the length of the next chant. Breathing in. Breathing out. When your mind wanders, bring it back to the breath moving inside you. Now, as you continue to breathe in for one chime and out the next chime, can you imagine, as you breathe in, the breath and awareness washes like a wave up inside your body to the top of your head, and as you breathe out, it goes down to the base of the spine. So breathing in, all your attention and the breath moves to the top of your head. As you breathe out, it goes to the base of the spine. Breathing in, awareness and breath float to the top of the head. Breathing out, down to the pelvic floor and the base of the spine. Breathing in, top of the head. Breathing out, base of the spine. Just allow the wave to wash up and down. Breathe in. Put your attention 100% on the top of your head. The wave will flow there. Breathing out. All the attention, base of the spine. Breathing in. Top of the head. Breathing out, base of the spine. Breathing in. Let the wave ascend. Breathing out, let the wave wash off the floor. Breathing in, top of the head. Breathing out, all your attention to the base of the spine. Breathing in, polishing that channel with the breath moving up. Breathing out, polishing the channel as the breath flows down. Breathing in, attention and breath top of the head. Breathing out, down to the base of the spine. Up and down on your own a few times. Breathing in, breath flows up top of the head. Breathing out, pelvic floor, base of the spine. Now, let go of moving the breath. Just breathe in for one chime and out the next chime. Totally letting go. No effort. Just becoming one with the breath and the chimes, like waves in the ocean flowing through you. Is it possible to imagine that you are being breathed? That you become the breath, just wind moving somewhere in the universe. Can you imagine using your imagination, which is subtle and effortless? Become aware of the space this room occupies. Can you feel that space from inside your body, like you never felt it before, like you had little sensing organs inside your body to feel the space around you? Become aware of the space your body occupies. Can you imagine filling the space above you to the ceiling? The space below you, down into the building, down into the earth. Become aware of the space on your right side and your left side to the walls of the room. In every direction around you, to the walls and the floor and the corners of the room. Become aware of the space between your eyes. Feel that space. Just imagine feeling the space inside your nostrils. Become aware now of the space deep inside your ears. and between your ears at the same time. Just let go. The harder you try, the harder it gets. Just let go and it will happen. Take your attention to the space inside your tongue, the space inside your mouth and cheeks and gums and teeth. As you breathe in easily and effortlessly, can you imagine the breath from your nostrils coming up and around and behind your eyeballs, caressing them, feeling them soften? Is it possible to imagine feeling the space from the back of your eyelids to the back of your skull, where your spine enters your skull? As you breathe in easily and effortlessly, become aware of the space inside your windpipe. Take your attention to your fingers and hands and arms. Can you imagine that your arms from your fingertips to your shoulders are filled with space, like a balloon is filled with helium? Light. And while being aware of the space inside your arms from the fingertips to the shoulders, can you imagine being aware of the spaces between your fingers, between and around your arms at the same time? Can you imagine being aware of the volume of your lungs as they expand and contract ever so gently with your breathing? Become aware of the space between your breastbone and your backbone. Let your awareness rest there a little longer. Take your attention to the space between your belly button and the backbone. Become aware of the space between your hips. And inside your buttocks at the same time. Can you imagine that your legs from your toes to your hips are filled with space while aware of how they're surrounded by space? Can you imagine all the spaces we've gone through become one continuous space? As you breathe in, the air fills your body from head to toe. And as you breathe out, your body is left filled with empty space. Breathing in, the air filling your body. Breathing out, your body left filled with empty space. Just keep your awareness on that for some more breaths. And while being aware of the space inside your body, once again, become aware of the space this room occupies. The space around you, to the ceiling and the floor and the walls of the room. Feel that space inside your own body. Can you imagine the boundary of your body dissolving so the space inside becomes continuous with the space around you? Can you see the space? Is it possible to hear the silence of the space? Can you imagine that from that silent space all the sounds arise? It's a space in which they exist for a while and into which they eventually return. Can you imagine tasting and smelling the space, the sensory space in which the tastes and smells arise? Is it possible to imagine the space between and around your thoughts? Or the space between your feelings? Take a deep breath in. Ah, let go. Become aware of your feelings. Become aware of your thoughts. Take your attention to your heart. In your mind's eye, be with the ones you've loved most in life and who have loved you the most. Right this moment, be with them. Can you feel the change around your heart? Is it possible to let that feeling expand through your whole body? And perhaps even out into this whole room. Become aware of the sensations in your body. And the noises around us, in this room and far away. Take another deep breath in, breathe in. Ah, let go. And if you're lying down, you can roll on your right side, gently, gradually. No rush, no hurry, no worry. Yeah, you can bring your legs down to do it. It's okay. Gently, when you're ready, you can stretch your arms and legs like a cat awakening from a nap. And slowly and gently, when you're ready, coming up to sitting, either on the floor or in your chair, whichever you like. Slowly, no rush. And does anyone want to share any experiences during the breathing or meditation? Kept clenching your teeth? It would come back. Okay, so that kind of teeth clenching is, I would suspect, some form of stress release, that there's some tension there. And you may well have been doing it during sleep and probably some of the time when you're awake. So we'll try to dissolve it tonight and tomorrow. Other experiences? Questions? Let's do experiences first. Yes. So how does that make you feel right this moment compared to when you walked in tonight?
Not wrapped in place.
Not what?
Not wrapped in place. Not wrapped.
Wrapped. Not wrapped as tight. Okay. Got it. Yeah, whether you're aware of it or not, there's a huge change in your brain waves. If you even try to imagine what I'm asking you to imagine, you may not think anything happened. You may not think you did it. If you even had the intention to try, amazing things happen. You just aren't quite used to what's going on inside. It's okay.
There were quite a few moments of almost like oblivion. Like I really didn't know where I was. And when I would come back, and I realized what I was doing.
Quite a few moments of oblivion, not knowing where he was, and then he'd come back. That's meditation. Body felt heavy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot of fatigue stored in the body from stress right now. So we'll try to get rid of it, wash it away. Each round of movement, breathing, meditation washes some of it away. Yeah. Other experiences? I always ask after rounds, and then people come up later and they tell me all these amazing things that happen, but they're afraid to say them because they think people will think they're weird. It's okay. A palpable pulling and... Yeah. Part of the stress getting loosened up. Yeah. It's okay. It's a good thing. They just kept popping out. Yeah. Yeah, so you're saying a lot of, let's say, negative thinking that you have, negative chatter in your head in every day, they all started to come out. But you see, now when they come out, you're aware of them. whereas you're usually not really aware of them. And it's different when you're aware of them and when you're not aware of them in terms of their effect on you. Okay? And also, again, we just kind of got to get them out. Because we spend a lot of time trying to resist them and stuffing them down inside, so then it's kind of like a pressure cooker. Yeah. Felt like floating. Yes, definitely. That can happen. Mm-hmm. Right, so in the beginning with the breathing, she felt like it was hard to breathe and her breath was almost stopping. So again, we're not usually breathing. The way we breathe induces a lot of stress inside us. It degrades the capacity of our system. So in the beginning, when you try to do this, sometimes there's a lot of stored tension that makes it hard to do the breathing. Just let go, just go with it, and things will loosen up. How was it breathing the length of the chimes? Okay, and then by the end, was it a little easier?
A little easier, we got through like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're used to holding a little bit. Yeah. It's okay. That'll change. Where did it hurt? So the pain got really intense. Yes. Great. No, that's really good, actually. That's part of the release process. We're gonna try to change that pain this weekend. You'll see. Because without doing that, it just kind of gets more and more entrenched and settled in, and then affects you in a bunch of ways. So there's temporary pain. I had a colleague, a wonderful Jungian analyst, he came to one of my courses, and in the middle of some intense breathing, he developed a twitch in his neck, like this. It was a long breathing. It's different than the breathing I'm doing with you this weekend. And I saw him doing it, and I knew it was part of the stress release. And after I asked people to share at the end, he said, I had this amazing twitch develop, and it kept going on and on and on, and I thought it was going to be irreversible, and I would be damaged and have it the rest of my life. And then it just went, okay? So, yeah, there's a little short-term pain for the long-term gain. So stick with it. Any other experiences? Yeah, that's really important. So stay primarily centered in your body feeling. I'm not kidding when I say feel the space between your eyes. Don't concentrate on it. Don't calculate how long it is. Okay, just like feel everything I'm saying inside your body, deep inside your body, not the surface of your body, deep inside. Okay, that's part of the process that heals things. I won't go into the science of that. That's for a lecture thing, but let's just say, just do it. Feel it. Imagine you can feel it. Even if you think you can't, imagine you can and things start to happen. Just trying shifts things tremendously. So how long were we breathing for? How long did it feel like? Half an hour? Any other votes? 20 minutes? We did breathing for 12 minutes. Okay. And we did the kind of open focus meditation. It was, I didn't calculate exactly, I didn't pay that much attention, but I'd say it was around 18 minutes, most likely. Okay. So when we were breathing with the chimes, that's the breathing. I'll call it coherent breathing, 5 breath per minute breathing, because your nervous system and your heart and your lungs develops an amazing coherence. Your mind, body, spirit come together in measurable ways, amazing ways. Once we leave the chimes behind and we go on to the spaces inside you and around you, that's open focus. Because all your day at work or at home, you're in this narrow focus. I got to get this done immediately, yesterday. Okay? And this creates so much tension in every layer of your system. So we're kind of giving you the antidote to that. We're going into a totally expanded kind of focus. We'll go into more expansion. Okay, we just started. Okay. Let's do another round, but a quick question or a comment. Ah, yes. Yes. So when you're in deep meditation, and breathing is a potentially deep meditation, not just when we're not focusing on the breathing, your brain waves look like you're in deep sleep, especially with this kind of meditation. They become very slow and big with a high amplitude. And so it may be a challenge staying awake. The first round or two, most people in New York are so sleep deprived, a lot of you will go in and out of sleep. And actually, if you meditate for some years, one of the biggest challenges is not to fall asleep in your meditation. So what's done in traditional Zen to help you stay awake? What does the teacher do? Mm-hmm. Right. So I would say, first of all, if you fell asleep for a little bit tonight, it's actually hard for you at this stage, most likely, to tell the difference between whether you're in deep meditation or you're asleep. But let's say you may go in and out of sleep right now. It means you need some sleep, and that's okay. So when I did traditional Zen, my Zen master was a karate master, an advanced karate master. And you raise a finger when you think you're falling asleep, and he comes over and hits you with a kyosaku, which is a bamboo stick. I did that once, and I said, I think I might sleep through the rest. So seriously, I'd say if you really find you're falling asleep tomorrow, you can sit up and you can open your eyes part way or all the way, and it'll be okay. And it is a little more challenging when it's hot and humid. It will be cooler tomorrow, thanks to the thunderstorm. So it's okay. If you fell asleep, if you fall asleep a lot tonight, it's great for you. Don't worry. Right, right. Okay. So the question is, lying down this way, which you're not used to, especially on a hard floor, we don't do that commonly in America. If you start to have pain, at this stage, shift your position so you're not uncomfortable. I'm not intending for you to practice Buddhist asceticism and suffering right away. Okay. But I would say later on, when you really do advanced meditation, it's wonderful when pain comes and you learn how to be with it. Because then amazing deep stress gets released. But I don't want you to go there right now. Just change your position a little bit. It's okay. Just, I would say, as much as possible, let the hands and the eyes be still. So not only in humans, but in animals, when they do that, their brain is incredibly recharged. And the drive chemicals, the juice that allows you to feel pleasure and enthusiasm gets regenerated, which you're depleting every day in your activities and your thinking. And even while you're asleep, your brain is stressing about stuff most of the time during the dream phase. Okay? Question or comment? Got to speak up loudly for me. Yes. I'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about, because there's different ways to use this for different kinds of purposes. And it makes a difference which time of day you do those things. So, yeah, it takes a while to talk about that, but we will definitely before you go home tomorrow. Let's do another quick round, okay? So, but I'm going to add some things to it. We're going to do a shorter movement sequence, something called the Great Harmonizer of Breath. We'll be breathing in this 5 breath per minute rhythm, because you can learn how to do this breathing doing most anything, whether you're walking down the street or doing yoga or dance or whatever, or work, taxes, for example. Not right now. Not right now. You need a little more practice. And we'll do some breath holding. And then we're going to do a faster breathing sequence. And then the chimes again, and we'll see where we get.
So let's, you could use different movements. I'm going to use this movement. We're going to go like this.
Ha!
Let's do it together. Breathe in.
Ha!
Like your kid on a playground yelling.
Ha!
Oh, good.
Ha!
Try to advance good for this.
Ha! Ha!
Shaking water off your fingers.
Ha! One more round. We'll do it with a slightly different movement. We're going to breathe in, fingers opening up here. And when we breathe out, we just let the elbows drop by our sides going. Ha!
Let's do it together. Breathe in.
Ha!
Good.
Ha! 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 Lie down or sit down. We'll do a short breathing with the chimes at 5 breaths per minute.
I'll call it by its major name, coherent breathing, because you become coherent. Everything inside becomes coherent. Okay, so remember, breathe in for one chime, breathe out the next chime, effortlessly into your belly, relaxing your body more and more with each breath out. Awareness the first couple minutes on the breath coming in and out of your nose. Breathing in. Breathing out. breathing in gently and effortlessly, just a little bit of breath at a time. Breathing out, just moving a little breath each moment. Breathing in, feeling the energy fill the body. Breathing out, relaxing more and more. When your mind wanders, bring it back to the breath in the nose and throat. Breathing in for the high tone. Breathing out for the low tone. Allow a little smile on your face, or a big one if you wish. Even if you have to pretend. Can you imagine that you are being breathed by the universe? Can you imagine your body melting away into the floor so that you just become the wind moving in the universe? Breathing in for one chime. Breathing out the next chime. Aware of the breath moving in and out of your body. Using our imaginations, which are subtle and effortless, breathe out through the pores of your skin. Breathing in through all the pores of your skin all over your body at the same time. breathing out through all the pores of your skin. They actually do breathe. Breathing in through all the pores all over your skin, every inch at the same time. Breathing out through all the pores. Feel that for a few breaths. Breathing in through all your pores. Breathing out through all your pores. Now just breathe in for one chime and out the next chime. Just let go of any attention to your breathing. Can you imagine that your whole body is a column of mist, a fog of feeling? And as you breathe in effortlessly, can you imagine the breath filling your whole body? And as you breathe out, there's just empty space left behind. While you're still a column of mist, filled with space, and merging with the space around you. Become aware of the sensations in your body and the noises around us. Near and far. Take a deep breath in. Let go. You can wiggle your fingers and toes, stretch your arms and legs. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Right. So the question is, some of the literature on breathing says it's better to breathe out longer than breathing in. And it's useful to know how to use that when you need it. But most of the time, it turns out this rhythm of breathing, of equal in and equal out, gets the best balance of energy and relaxation and everything measurable in your body and your brain working optimally. But if you need an even deeper relaxation, if you prolong the out-breath, it will begin to do that. We'll do some more modifications tomorrow along those lines. But the thing is, once you start breathing out longer than breathing in, you have to pay pretty much complete attention to your breathing. Whereas this breathing is so natural with practice, it can become something you slip into and out of on and off all day, and you're in this amazing place. Because during your daily life, you want energy as well as relaxation. But there are times where you want to totally relax, and then, yes, a longer out-breath is good. So we'll talk about that kind of modification more tomorrow and why you might want to do it and when. Yeah. Any other experiences, questions? Mm-hmm. Right, so after the ha, he was saying he felt more stiffness on the left side of his body. Yeah, we all have body asymmetries from stress, and it gets in there, and we're not even aware of it, that it's happening, unless you do movement work and you're coached, either by a good Olympic coach or a movement coach like a Feldenkrais or Alexander person. We're not aware of what's happening, and it creates problems that lead to imbalances. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah, so the first time you do this, it's the hardest for most people. And it gets so easy after that first time. So you'll see, tomorrow there'll be this whole developing thing. And I've been doing this many years, and it keeps changing for me too. So what you experience now, it can be really different tomorrow or a year from now or 10 years from now. It's never quite the same because you're always changing too. But it's nice to be open and expanding, as opposed to what happens to our consciousness when we're stressed and in pain. What does your mind and body feel like when you're stressed and in pain? It's like a knot. It's a tight knot, right? So we're starting to change that with what we're doing. Okay, Rona? Okay, tomorrow for lunch, we will have time to go out for lunch. There's a lot of restaurants, but if you want to bring something. But what are the issues on eating in the Zendo? Okay. No hot, messy liquids, right, or crumbs. So we will have to police ourselves. Okay, so I have to send you out on the streets of New York after relaxing you. And so to make it easier to do that, I don't always use this process at this point, but I feel like some of you kind of really let go, which is great. But I also want to show you a different way of your mind, body, spirit coming together. So let me turn to that track on the iPod. Okay, you're going to hear flamenco music with clapping. And you're going to clap in time to the music. And you're going to use your body with it as well. More music here. Use your body. Listen to it. It's a little more difficult. It's hard to hear at a distance. Okay, you ready for New York and the subway? So, 10 a.m. tomorrow. See you soon.
Just a quick announcement before we leave this room. If you could, we're going to leave this layout for tomorrow, but if you could just maybe move your chairs back to where they were when you found them and straighten out the cushions here. Also, tonight's teaching by Dr. Brown was actually provided without a fee charged. The registration fee actually covered just putting on this event. So if you so feel moved, we'd very much welcome any kind of donation you'd like to make. There's a box at the back of the room called Dana. That means generosity. Any contribution would be most welcome for Dr. Brown. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.